Hello, welcome to Category 5 Community Coffee Break. I'm BP9. This is the first coffee break for 2021. So happy new year to everybody who's here and who's also watching after the event. Above me on this side, oh, I got it right for once. Look at that. There's Doug on my screen. So say hello, Doug. Give us a wave. Thank you, sir. And then Peter's up on this
hello.
Side. Hello. Hello. Peter?
There's some funny audio coming through. I can hear some funny audio.
Yeah, I think there's some echoing or something coming through.
Breakthrough. I like Cosmos.
All right. I'll have a go at figuring out what it is later. But anyway, this is my handy-dandy U-Butte whiz-bang garage door opener sequencer card. And I have made some progress. First thing I did was build a component list of all the components. And Peter, you were right in that one of the components that I was looking at is an optocoupler.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you and I looked at that, and I couldn't figure out if it was a voltage regulator or what it was. And you said no, it's an optocoupler.
It could have been a vector bar, but no.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, looking at the part number, it's definitely an opto. So, the other thing I did was I drew a really, really crappy, don't laugh, Peter, okay? Don't laugh at my crappy handwriting and ugly looking circuit diagram. Yeah.
Make my mind to where I'm the same.
This is only part of the circuit, because the first thing I needed to do was to figure out what is the power doing on this thing. And here is a much better representation of it. I put this in KiCad, and what I can do once I've finished the circuit diagram, this is only the part I initially drew.
I use software to
okay. Yeah. Once I finish that, then I'll be able to, redraw the PCB if I want to or whatever I want to do. But primarily, I'm trying to understand what it does. So I've figured out the interesting thing that really struck me with these is that only one of these relays actually switches the active side of the power. The other two relays switch the, or route more specifically, the neutral side for the motor, the motor that drives the garage door up and down. These two work together to switch effectively the polarity, although I don't think it's a DC motor. I believe it's an AC motor, but somehow these two relays, and I haven't figured out the ins and outs of it yet, but the two relays control which direction the two...
Swaps the voltage on the electromagnet, yeah.
Sure, yeah, like it would on a DC motor. But
yeah.
The ugly, the 600-pound gorilla in the room is this IC, this specialized IC that I gave you that Y part number for.
Yeah.
There's nobody knows anything about that part. I can't find any data sheets or anything for it.
What happens is the manufacturers use one-offs, and they either don't mark them or they give them funny numbers.
Right.
But
right.
They're one-offs. You understand what I mean by that?
Yeah. Well, what I do not know at this point is whether that IC is good or not. So I'm basically down to square one again, and that is component level repairs for the replacement for the components that are obviously bad, like this big old resistor, this big 2-watt resistor, which you can see right there, because you can, as we showed you in previous coffee breaks, smoke all over it and all kinds of burn marks and all kinds of stuff. So there's some resistors that are definitely going to
burnt off red.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's it. That's what I'm faced with doing right now. I'm going to have to do that. That's going to be fun. It sucks that I'm going to have to get like one or two parts as like a one-off.
Robbie, Robbie and Jeff were talking about the other day using a laser printer to make PCB. I wrote some comments in Discord that I don't think it's a good idea because the chemicals they were using were nasty. They were using hydrochloric acid and hydrogen peroxide, which A, produces an exothermic reaction, and it tends to go a bit fizzy. And the other thing, chlorine gas comes off, and it's not very nice.
Ooh, you know, nasty.
So you think you're in the First World War again, you know.
So,
if I would have done it, I would have done it outside in somewhere where it's plenty of ventilation.
Yeah, I pointed them to Osh Park for some, and I'm not advertising or anything like that, but you could, there's half a dozen, you know, PCB manufacturing houses that will take Gerber files and build you job lots of PCBs, right?
Could you send that to me some way? Because I went to one in England and they ripped me off basically. And they charged me £50 for doing a PCB, and they wanted more money after that as well.
It's literally oshpark.com, oshpark.com.
I need a pen. Hold on. Come back. I'll look for a pen in a minute, okay?
Yeah, or I'll put it on Discord. It's no big deal. It's no problem. Oh, I can do that for you.
I'm dyslexic, so I have to put right things down quickly.
Yeah, that's fine. I've heard advertised, you know, one company has been advertising all over the place called PCB Way as well, but I have not had any experience with them, so I do not know what they're like. I have worked with Osh Park, and I do.
Do they do one off? Because I'm making the board, obviously.
I think there's like a minimum of three or something. You'd have to get three of them, because they do, the minimum manufacturing size for the PCB is, I don't know, 8x11 or something, whatever the minimum size is. They put your part in, your board in with everybody else, and try and fit it in as close as possible to reduce the waste, so they don't waste a lot. And then after the manufacturing is done, they'll obviously break all the boards apart to your individual spec board, and then send you just those boards. So they have to have, I don't think just one will work very well for their manufacturing. I think it's got to be like three or something as a minimum.
Yeah, we're going to have three to my anyway, so.
I built a Trackwino, which is an APRS Arduino unit. It's a shield that goes on an Arduino. And I think that was an Osh Park. I had to buy three of them. I had to have them make three of them. That was the minimum they would make.
How much? In dollars?
Not much. Honestly, I don't remember, but it was less than $20.
That's about $20,
including shipping. No, okay. that would be about £15, I think.
Okay, it's good. Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I ordered from China a switch, a coaxial switch, a three-way one, to switch my antennas to stop vandalism again. And I got a very funny email from them in a very funny English that I couldn't even bloody read properly.
Yeah.
It was you flung English, Chinese English.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they were saying that there was a problem with the order or something. So I'm not sure it was a legitimate or what. So I bought some relays, and I'm going to use some relays out of a car, you know, a dual relay, and switch the coaxial with that, with some transistors in the bottom, in the box. So
There's a few ham radio places here in the States. One's called hamradio.com. It's called Ham Radio Outlet. There's another place called MFJ Enterprises, which makes a lot of that kind of gear. Maybe you'll have some luck with that, but you still got to deal with shipping from from the US over to Ireland. So
yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, but we've got a bit ordered, and a friend of mine's got some PCB that belongs to me. Mm-hmm. And doing a YouTube and mount it on some PCB board at the relays, mm-hmm. and hopefully we'll try to get the thing to work.
All right.
And we can switch three aerials, too similar to the dark, the car door thing, you know, same idea, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can go out. So we had -7 degrees of frost today, by the way. And we had
Celsius?
Yeah.
Celsius? Yeah.
And we had snow as well. Everybody, we had snow for one day.
Nice.
One day. And then it got very ice and we got black ice and you couldn't go out.
I'm very surprised at how quickly the days are getting longer, because a week ago, in Central Time Zone anyway, the sun would go down around 4:30, 5 o'clock. Now it's only a week after. Is it a week? Yeah, pretty close. Well, 2 weeks now, I guess. 2 weeks after the shortest day of the year, which is 21st of December, and it's already 5:30 before the sun goes down. It's quite surprising. So,
It's darker now, 5:30. It's dark
now. I'm not surprised. So, Doug, what have you been up to, sir? Peter and I have hogged the conversation all this time. I'm sorry about that. What have you been up to?
Well, I attempted to use my Raspberry Pi as an entertainment center or media center. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I bought a little keyboard.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. I had a Favi keyboard. There was a company made called Favi, F-A-V-I.
Okay.
It used to make a keyboard just like this. And it worked with pretty much anything I put it into.
Yep.
I put it in my laptop and it worked fine. I put it in my Raspberry Pi and it worked fine.
Okay.
This won't work in the Raspberry Pi. It'll work in my laptop, but it won't work in my Raspberry Pi.
Huh. Okay. Wow.
Did a little online research and found out that it might require a powered hub, USB hub. So I went.
Does it not have batteries inside it?
Yeah, there's a battery in this.
Huh. Oh, hello, cat. Hi, kitty. It's Maddie.
Maddie, short for Madeline.
Hi, Maddie. Hi, gorgeous. Meow.
Well, I went out and paid $20 for a USB hub, and it still doesn't work.
Oh dear! Well, it's a wireless thing, though, is it not? That keyboard's Wi-Fi, is it not, or Bluetooth, or what?
I am not sure.
Or is there actually a wire that runs from it to the Raspberry Pi?
No, it says mini wireless keyboard mouse combo.
Okay, but you'd have to know whether it's Bluetooth or whether it's. I'm guessing it's Bluetooth.
It does not say.
Huh. So if
connection,
it's not working,
2.4, it's Wi-Fi 2.4G.
We'll have to talk to Robbie about that one, because I don't know how a Wi-Fi keyboard. Well, actually, I have heard. I know my Roku remote controls operate on 2.4 gig as well, on the Wi-Fi frequencies. So I guess there's nothing stopping it from happening. I would have expected it to be Bluetooth, though. But, oh well. The Raspberry. I wonder if it's just not showing up as a Raspberry, as a keyboard on the network or something.
Yeah, not picking it up. Not thinking it's there.
And somehow the Raspberry Pi. Well, yeah. Somehow the Raspberry Pi. You said that keyboard unit won't work on the Raspberry Pi, but it does work on your PC. Is that true?
Correct. That is correct.
So the PC, what's the PC running, Windows or Linux?
Yes.
I might try
Windows 10.
I might try it. Well, I'm not surprised, because Windows is loaded full of drivers for all kinds of esoteric devices. I might try a Linux distro, something not Raspberry Pi. Do you have any PCs or laptops that run Linux?
Yes.
I might try that keyboard on that Linux distro.
You can try it on one of the others if it works.
Okay. I might try that and see if your keyboard is recognized by the other Linux distro that's running on the PC before you try it again on the Raspberry Pi.
I have a keyboard running Linux Mint. I have a keyboard or a laptop, rather, running Linux Mint. I have one running Point Linux and one running Ubuntu.
Okay. Something's here.
And see if it works.
Yeah, I would certainly try running Sobu. Hello, he's awake. Woohoo!
He's back.
I would certainly try checking.
Everybody
to see,
froze up.
Sorry, but I think it's at your end, Doug, because you're frozen, but everybody else is okay. So, you're back. Okay.
Okay, well, we're back now.
So it's probably your end at this point. I mean, the first thing I checked was my internet as well, but mine's okay, and everybody else in the meeting is moving okay. So you were the only one who was frozen, Doug. Yeah. I see you, Salbu. but Doug, that's what I hold on, Peter. Doug, that's what I would try. I would definitely take that keyboard that the Raspberry Pi does not recognize and see if your Linux Mint laptop will recognize the keyboard. Then you'll know if it's a Linux versus Windows issue.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, Salbu, how you doing? But he's walked away. He's probably off making a ham sandwich or something, or some kind of a sandwich. He's got all kinds of food stacked up on the counter back there.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah, he can hear us all right. He's just getting coffee. But
oh, yeah, no, you're muted. Get his coffee.
You're muted, Solbu. Your microphone's not working. It helps if you plug it in.
Yeah, testing.
Hey, there he is. Woohoo!
Yeah, I do that with both my microphone and my camera. I they're unplugged until I need them. So.
Wow, just in case anybody's listening, huh?
Yeah.
Now, what's all that stuff stacked on the back counter there? Is that your remainder of your Christmas and New Year?
No, it's... late last year, I had mice in my cupboard.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh no! You got more you got more mice problems.
No, it's the same, but I haven't figured out how to stack it after.
See, don't you wish you'd put a back screen on your behind you now? Well, Solbu, what kind of trouble have you been getting into? You timed it perfect because Peter has talked for a while and Doug has talked for a while. Now it's your turn.
Well, same old, just being home and watching a lot of YouTube and a little TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Been there, done that. I got Twitch working on the Roku again, which I was pleased about The official Twitch app doesn't work anymore on Roku. If I try and start the official Twitch app, it just crashes out. It just crashes back to the main menu.
Yeah.
But there is now an app that you can, in Android world, we call it Sideload. It's a so-called unauthorized channel. It's called Twoku, TWOKU, which seems to work okay. So... I think
getting that on what?
What's that?
What question? Is what?
Okay, so the website is called Twitch.tv, I believe.
Yeah.
And the Roku, the app on the Roku is spelt Twoku, TWOKU. It's a portmanteau of the two words. So the first two is TW from Twitch, and the rest is OKU from Roku.
Okay.
TWOKU. You have to log into your Twitch account, your Roku account on the website to add the channel. You can't add the channel just on the Roku menu.
Right.
You have to actually
link them together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You have to actually connect. You have to actually add the channel from the Twitch. I keep saying Twitch, from the Roku website.
Got it.
Yeah. So since the last time I was here,
well, you slept a lot. That's for sure.
Yeah, but I actually did that just now.
I'm not surprised.
With a night for them.
So, what time is it over there? Is it really 10 o'clock over there?
It's 6:24 p.m.
Okay, so Peter lied, or he stretched the truth a little bit, because he said it was like 10 p.m. over there.
No, I did it dark. I did it dark over there.
I apologize. I thought you said it was like 10 o'clock at night.
No,
The sun is going down 3 p.m. So
I told you.
You're a long way north, aren't you?
Yeah. It's not worth getting up in the morning.
I was just commenting that it was that here, the sun on the shortest day of the year, on the 21st of December, the sun would go down about 4:30 p.m. And not 2 weeks later now, and it seems like it's like 5:30 now. So it's surprising how quickly. Go ahead.
Since the last time I was here, some of you may have noticed that I have actually started to use a few of the Discord channels, and not just the IRC bridge. I found a client that is free software that connects to Discord, and so.
Come over to the dark side, Sorbu. Come over to the dark side. Oh, that way. Oh, wrong way. There we go.
Yeah. So I found that Lightcord is a client on that I found on GitHub. So it's working just fine. So
what does that do?
It logs into Discord without me having to use Firefox or another web browser.
Okay, and why do it's you easier. Care that you're using a web browser? Oh, okay. Do you get all the same interface, like switching channels?
The only difference is that some of the Discord servers that I attend, I am in the Discord channel of a YouTuber called Switch to Linux, and he have a few icons right next to the channel names. And the icons doesn't show up in colors, but I can live without that.
Yeah. I still need to pick your brain, Solbu, about TLS specifically.
Yeah.
Making TLS connections, because my client is really starting to annoy the crap. No, not. I don't have a client for this program, but the client that I'm writing for the server that I'm writing is really starting to give me heartburn, because I'm having trouble trying to figure out how to make it work. So what I'm almost tempted to do is just start moving forward with the protocol and just do it over an unsecure connection initially, and then just plug in the SSL connection over the top of that, because
there is something called STOL.
Okay.
Yeah. I tested it 10 years ago for something, and it works, but I didn't use it. So, but it is possible to have a client that is not using SSL or TLS or anything, and you have this Eston that you used to start a thing with, and it tunnels the traffic over a TLS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I could just use SSH, because I already have SSH working between. I only ever log into the main machine from a laptop, even on my internal network, over SSH. So, yeah. I mean, I could just use that SSH connection, tunnel over the SSH connection if I could do that. So I haven't figured out how to do that either. So, I mean, because if I do a open socket and create connection, by default, it's just going to make a direct connection between the client and the server. It's not going to use a tunnel of any kind unless I tell it to. So,
yeah.
Before you go, because we've got about 1 minute, I've been working on password generator. And,
nice.
And what I've been doing is, over Christmas, I've not been well, for obvious reasons, medical reasons, but we won't go into that. And so I decided to pick up a computer and started to write this thing. And basically, you create a 64-bit hash code and use that to create the, they use a passphrase, you know, like a BB9, and that creates the hash code. Then from the hash code, you create the text from that.
Nice. And very nice.
You can change it from uppercase, lowercase, letters, numbers, mixture of letters, and both cases, and it creates 76 between 50 and 76 characters per password. And I did it on a password tester, and it was billions and billions of years to break it. You couldn't break it.
It never occurred to me to build a password generator, because my password manager, I use KeePass, the standalone version that runs on Linux. It generates passwords for me. So it never occurred to me to write a program to generate passwords, but it works. That would work very well, though.
It does work, because I was talking to my niece, who's a mathematician, or my younger brother, and we're working out how many times that we could divide, well, to get the number of the characters out, because it was easier in another rhythm. So we were sort of figuring that out, and she said she works for, well, of the government, British government.
Yes.
I'm not saying any more about that.
Okay.
She said that would work very well. We also took the table, which is all the letters in that you use, and mix them up as well. So that makes it more difficult to them to break. So you have two things. You have a password and a number, which is the mix up value. You know, we mix up the thing.
So
I've got the source code. If you want to see the source code in Pascal, I'll drop it in on Lazarus in a zip file for you if you want.
And the sure, comments, why not?
And the other comment about the other thing was that it was just a name I thought of at the time. It all go at Microsoft a wee bit about the
what is it, networkhack.exe or something like that? I get that. I knew it was, but you said you could have called it I Hate Windows, but there are so many executables called that it won't matter anyway. It'll get lost.
There are other ones, but I would repeat it. But because every time I keep telling me, I keep doing updating.
All right, Peter, we have to finish up because we're over time at the moment. Yeah. So.
A little short. I have a password generator that I use. It's called APG. It's a Linux-based command line something. But it generates random password that you can actually pronounce.
Well, again, my password generator, my password manager does the same thing. You have an option when you generate a password to say, do you want the thing to be pronounceable? Yeah. And if so, it will generate passwords like that. So.
Yeah, the benefit of that is it's easier for you to, remember, and it's still a good password.
Nice.
Mine uses a clip or to transfer this from the password generator to the device you want to put the password in.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have some between 20 and 30 different password. I have a different password for everything, and I have everything in my head because I have a system for how I
that works. Absolutely. Well, I'd love to keep talking, but we are over time. I'm going to edit but we're going to edit out some of the stuff from the beginning because we had some sound issues, but we'll get rid of that. Hopefully that'll cut the time down for the final recording. And I have no idea whether Robbie is asleep or awake at the moment because I guess he's spinning up for the next show. So he'll have a chance to fix this.
A friend called me and he called me 5 minutes after the coffee break started and he woke me up.
Well, but I'm glad you made it anyway, Solbu. So.
Good to see you again, Calvin.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so,
this year we can actually say that looking back to history is 2020. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, let me close this up because we're done. Let me close it up. I want to say thank you all for all your participation over 2020 and hopefully a lot more over 2021. Hopefully Solbu will stay awake for the next few. I have to check which finger you were holding up there, Solbu. All right, then.
A rich way round as well.
Merry Christmas to all. I know we've all gotten through Christmas. I'm glad you all had a good Christmas and a new year. And let's hope for a really good 2021. So. Thank you, everyone, and it's actually
Merry Christmas and not just another holiday.
I agree. All right, take care, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Yes, happy New Year, everybody.
And wait a minute, there we go. Bye.